Welcome to SelfDiscoveryWisdom.com, formerly known as Self Discovery Media. On these podcasts, you're going to hear people who speak from the heart. They've taken the journey in life. Many things have happened to them, but they've changed it to happening for them. And in their strength, their courage, they've discovered their abilities and their wisdom, and they are now sharing it here with you. Do enjoy each show. We bring it to you with love and knowing that it's going to help you on your journey of life. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Mental Health Awareness right here on SelfDiscoveryWisdom.com. I'm your host, Sarah Troy, and today we're talking to Dr. Caitlin Lehman. We're going to be talking about Quantum Clinic, a clinical psychology specializing in multicultural community psychology. Well, what does that mean? She stands as an innovative force at the helm of a new paradigm of psychology well-being. And as the chief executor and visionary at Quantum Clinic, she has built a model of mental health service provisions rooted in heart-brain coherence and nervous system healing through sympathetic resonance. I'm loving all the words I'm hearing right now. Quantum Clinic, which experienced remarkable growth in 2023, was prominently featured in media outlets such as Goop and LA Times, NBC, and Beverly Hills Times, where they praise Dr. Lehman for building a movement centered around radical connection with nature, our own bodies, our intuition, and one another. With a clinical psychology specializing in multicultural community psychology, the career has led her to be defined by steadfast dedication to serving diverse communities worldwide, from providing assessments for asylum seekers, refugees, navigating the legal system to guide senior executives through, and professional challenges. Her impact spans industries and continents. And at the heart of her mission lies a deep commitment to fostering serenity through coherence. Her envisions a future where ethical mental health prevention services offer an alternative to the over-medicalized of stress-related ailments. And her unwavering dedication to this cause drives her relentless pursuit of transformative solutions. I am loving absolutely everything I am hearing here. You know, there's so many times I have doctors on where they say, it's not just about cutting it out or giving a drug, that there are so many other modalities that one can use. If one, it's not even a question of thinking about a box out of the box, it's realizing there is no box. We've put people in the box. There was no box in the first place, right? Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Sarah. It's really a pleasure to be here.
I'm just loving the way you are taking the approach on this. Mental health now, I think, has become one of the biggest conversations. And I think a lot of it is the fact, A, we're more aware of the broad spectrum of mental health, but also that we're also very saturated. You know, we've had COVID, then wars, and then more annihilations. And it's just prices going, homes out of reach. And everybody is at that screaming point. And it's like, before we kind of look at it as a disease, why don't we look at it as just being dis-ease with life? And how do we bring ourselves back to the core and the center of our being?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
So how do we? What is the process? Why is your process so different?
These are all really important questions. And ultimately, I want the listeners to think of Quantum Clinic as a companion on the journey for self-healing. What we really stand for is, you know, the importance of rest, right? You mentioned so many examples just now of, you know, global pandemic, of disease, of war, of violence begetting violence in our communities, both globally, internationally, and locally, and in many cases, even in the home.
Yes.
So,
and here, to oneself too, right?
Oneself, yes. Yes, absolutely. So here in Los Angeles, where we practice, we're really, our services are emblematic of the understanding that your innate intelligence for self-healing, for self-growth, and self-actualization is within you. You have all of the keys to unlock your greatest potential. And what we do is we empower people with the skills or the tools and the space to practice that and the community of practice to feel connected to here in, you know, what is otherwise a very busy metropolitan place. But we sort of sit in this little sanctuary. It's almost like an island in the larger city called Frogtown, along the beautiful historic Los Angeles River. And so we're right here as a space for people to who are drawn to our work to find us and to really begin that process of unwinding all of the traumatic or you know, life, just life, normal life stuff that comes up, right? along the journey. So you know, that's us and that's what we do.
You know, the universe, I love the way it works, because I never know, you know, when I'm interviewing people, it just kind of lands on dates. And then I see kind of a beautiful thread from one show to the other, you know, where we're talking about the lack of connection and the need of community, where we're talking about the outside living as opposed to the inside living, where we talk about learning to be in silence in order to hear, you know, that learning to trust your own compass, your own heart center, the core there. And it doesn't matter which way we're saying it. Everybody is presenting it from a different angle. But when we look at it, it is actually addressing the whole, isn't it?
Yes. No, I couldn't agree more with you. I think your words are very eloquently spoken. And you know, you are the universe learning through your experience of self in this particular moment. And so ultimately, you know, no matter where you start or where you're going, it's about the journey. It's about how you conduct yourself along the way. Can you embody love, embody joy, embody, you know, a youthful, energetic spirit? These are qualities of life that make it worthwhile. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes people who are in the throes of, you know, depression or anxiety or having traumatic responses to, you know, real or perceived threats in their life, you know, that there's a need for spaces and places which are intentionally designed to support integration and healing. And that really is what Quantum Clinic is all about. It's a place for people to do that integrative work. We also, you know, get a lot of people who, for instance, experiment with psychedelic drugs.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Here in Los Angeles, that's a pretty common thing. But when you think about it, really, there's no institutions or places which are designed to support the integration of those expanded states of consciousness. Yeah. And ultimately, the realization, I think, for people who have taken drugs or who have not, you know, you can arrive at those similar expanded states of consciousness through presence. Necessarily need to be taking a substance in order to achieve it. Though for some folks, that seems to help awaken something within them. We think that the flotation therapy with sound or frequency therapy is another way. You know, we get a lot of people who report deeply transpersonal themes which come up for them in our space. And so we're just here to support folks in having a language for that, having an experience of that, and having a space to process and to digest it, to transmute it into something that's meaningful and tangible and can carry them on their path.
You know, we look at a world that is actually more anxious than I think ever before. Even in wartime in the past, you know, communities came together, but we seem more now to things pulling us apart. And I think in that anxiety, it produces depression because we feel disconnected. And really what we do need is a community where we feel safe to be ourselves, and where we feel kind of a warm hug of, I've got you. This is a safe place. And we're in a world where the emphasis is on divide, rather than coming together. You know, we're feeling people that are going down this rabbit hole of depression. Now, I have suffered through my life through clinical depression. And when you're in that, where you feel the rabbit hole has opened up and somebody's come in and pulled your guts out, there is no rhyme or reason. There is no logic. There is no rationale. It just is. So don't tell us to snap out of it or just do this. You know, it is something that is all consuming. And I actually think that for many, many people who choose the road of suicide, if you interviewed them on the other side, they'll go, I didn't mean to die. I just wanted to stop the pain. Yes. So if we could give them a safe place before that pain gets to so consuming, where they can find the tools and the skills in order to deal with it. Music helps me a great deal. If it really goes down, and it's been a long time since I've gone there, I do have some pills to take if it gets that bad and I know I need to take the edge off. Otherwise, for me, it is watching videos of people doing good work and rescuing animals, or it's music, because there's something about music and the frequency that goes in and resets you and recalibrates you. But we need to find out what it is that is our warm blanket, our hug, our recenter. And we need to do that in a place where we feel safe and supported. That's so very, very important, isn't it?
It is. It really is. You know, there have been all of these meta-analytical studies looking at what are the factors of the varying, there's something like 3,000 different types of therapy in the world, right? And so what are the common factors lead to therapeutic outcomes, right? The alleviation of symptoms or the promotion of health. And ultimately what it whittles down to is presence, experience of feeling felt, right? Empathy.
Yes.
Knowing that you are witnessed and presenced by and with someone else or for yourself. And unconditional positive regard, love. And because to your point about clinical depression, it often feels as though it is so overwhelming and all encompassing, and that there is no way out. And so often it is said that the only way is through. So we find ways to continue to work through that which comes up for us across the lifespan, no matter what the diagnosis. You know, set of symptoms are that you're coping with. And Quantum Clinic really is a space for people here in the Los Angeles greater area to deeply connect within themselves, to trust that they are held by a team of clinicians who are really here to bear witness, here to support, and here to empower.
I've just interviewed a wonderful 88-year-old who's turning 89. And the reason I interviewed him, because he wrote this wonderful article, you know, of like, you know, I'm 88 young, I've still got a lot to do. And the whole enthusiasm out of it, I have to interview him. But he brought up a wonderful statistic where I think it's called the blue wave, where somebody did some research around the world, people that were living centennial, 100 and
blue
more.
Zones.
Blue zone, yes, the blue zone. And that, and that, you know, the what was the common denominator? The common denominator was community. They had friends, they had a community, they had a sense of belonging. They were active. They ate well, mostly plant food. But the most important thing is they had a purpose coming together in their community. And I think this is something in the Western society we've lost a great deal of. We've turned our community to being text and you know, TikTok, you know, the few second engagement rather than deep engagement face to face or with a group. And I think that this whole disconnect is something that we've put ourselves in, maybe unknowingly, but we need to recognize is not serving us.
Yeah, it's actually a distortion of reality as well, because the perception of strict autonomy, of being an individual agent who is disconnected or not, that whatever goes on for me doesn't affect what goes on in the rest of the universe. That is simply just not true.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
And you know, we spoke before the show about, you know, quantum physics is demonstrating that empirically time and again. So ultimately, the way through that, at least in my heart, what my heart has told me and how I practice that is by the intentional cultivation and creation of community space and holding space for others and for myself along this journey. You know, you're so right about the importance of community. And there is a way in which our society, our culture these days has sort of created community into some type of transactional relationship, right? Where, you know, it's like, what am I going to get from you? Right. Or what's in it for me in this? Right. And ultimately, you know, the value of true relationship of community is that we're in community. We are
exactly
with
and we
one
should
another.
Be in commune with
yes,
each other,
totally.
Right? That's what community stands
about,
for.
it's not about tit for tat or
yes
this for that. It's you know, it's about the act of being in relationship, which is ultimately that which is believed to be healing in so many different lineages of practice. So we have lots of different groups and activities for people to come together in community. We offer services that are for individuals, but also do have a couples offering. We get a lot of couples wanting to celebrate an anniversary or a fun date night. But also, you know, individuals who are just looking for a community space where maybe they can have a private experience, but in a space designed for connection as well.
I think for a lot of people is because we've stepped into a world that is unsafe, which is because of people being disconnected. Sorry, this is a shameless plug because it is a charity. But, you know, Our Forgotten Children is a book I put together with 15 different authors around the raising of children and what needs to change, how systems are broken, and around how we need to support families. Because if we support families, we keep them together. They support the children. We need to be of aid, not taking away, but aiding them. And, you know, it's an important book for me to get out there. There's going to be Our Forgotten Seniors coming up at the end of the year. But
wonderful.
It's about when we're aware, we care. But most of the time, people are unaware of what's going on. And we've got to realize that there is a whole load of static and disconnect of energies out there. And there's a lot of hysteria and a lot of fear. And you cannot see clarity. You cannot see solutions or answers in that state of being. And you have to come down to center, to calmness, to silence, to being present. And it's for a lot of people, it's like, but I don't know where to feel present. Where am I safe? Right. And that's the, you know, that's where that community is so important, because it's a place where, you know, they've got you. That's simply it. They've got you. And it's a safe place for you to explore your own inner being. What are the things that need to be released? What are the things you need to hug and nurture? You know, what are the things that you want to say and do, but you've been too afraid? So that support of a community and a safe place to do it, especially around people that can give you tools and skills in order to practice, I think is something that we need to multiply quite considerably around the world.
Yeah, and ultimately, you know, the experience of being safe within oneself.
Yes.
Right? Is that we are ultimately never alone,
no.
Truly. If
Never.
We really allow ourselves to connect to the quiet, still space within, you find a million voices.
Yes.
Cheering you on, supporting you, you know, the whole way. But you're right. A lot of people don't have that modeled for them in childhood or in their family homes. So that it has to be learned.
Yes.
It has to be spaces where people are taught.
Yeah.
You know, how to regulate an overactive amygdala response, right, in the body mind, an overactive response to perceived threat in our environment, and that
recognizing the triggers, right?
Sure. Developing a sense of what's called interoception, an ability to accurately interpret and describe or define internal sensations. And you know, there's so much that goes on inside of us. If we think of the universe as infinitely expanding in an outward direction, well, the self expands infinitely inward.
Exactly.
So developing that sense of awareness, which is a lifelong project.
Yeah.
It's not
Yes.
something you arrive at.
No.
And therein lies the importance and the beauty of those relationships and that community where you can be in the process of that with the beloved other, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our greater human kin. And I think ultimately there's a big and important movement going on right now on planet Earth where we're remembering that we're all related. You know,
Yes.
There is
Yes.
only one race, and it is the human race.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
it's a so. And you know, there's been an invitation now for quite a while, turning the volume up every year in our consciousness, rising into our consciousness. About 6.5 years ago, the universe gave me a saying: "I'm going to shake you up, to wake you up, for you to step up and change it up, and grow up vibrationally, but also grow up." You know,
yes,
we've become a bunch of whiners, you know.
Yes. Oh my God, preach.
We've
become a bunch of complainers,
yes.
A bunch of passive, aggressive, just, you know, happy to complain about the world,
yes.
But not offering solutions. And
Exactly.
So therein lay the impetus for the creation of Quantum Clinic. You know,
yeah.
I was a new mom at the, you know, just prior to the pandemic, then went through the pandemic like everyone else, and deciding how I wanted to re-enter the workforce.
Yeah.
And so this was my answer to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
How can I, in my small way, in my community of practice, where I've lived and worked for the better part of 15 to 18 years, you know, how can I create a space for not only individual healing, but community healing? And we're excited about this work, and it
yeah.
feels in alignment right now.
I mean, I'm loving seeing this because this is what people are awakening to. They're awakening to understand the need of each other. You know, I always draw the analogy is that we're in discovery of what our instrument is and learn how to play it. And yes, we can be a soloist and play very well. However, when we come to the orchestra, each one of us in our own strength and harmoniously play together, we transcend and reach out so many more. A lot of people don't know how to play in the orchestra because they haven't learned their instrument or they don't know how to be harmonious with others.
Right. Right. And you're speaking to essentially the essence of that, which is coherence.
Yeah.
So, you know, coherence, depending on which discipline you're using to describe the word, you know, it has meanings in literature as much as it does in physics, but and psychology, but essentially it's about facilitating an inner state of harmony. When the different physiological and bioenergetic structures of the body begin to play in attunement with one another, right? So how we practice this is by connecting with the energetic center of the heart and cultivating a positive, life-affirming emotional state, like love, like joy, like gratitude. And what the literature has shown is that it actually drives what's called vagal afferent traffic. So the information and energy from the heart regulates the brain in an upward direction. We always think of ourselves as being top down, mind over matter. But it's actually, it's from the inside out, right? The heart is the largest generator of electromagnetic information in the body. And we want that energy and that information, which not only can be measured and felt up to a number of feet away from the body, like it's like when you go into a room and you can tell you know, subtly that somebody over there is in a bad mood. Right?
Yes, yes.
That's real palpable information that we are designed to interface with in the
Our
field.
Antennas are up, right?
Exactly,
yes.
Exactly. So we want to learn how to cultivate this state of coherence, which is synonymous with harmony. And then we want to practice it and we want to be more coherent generators of electromagnetic information in the global field. And so ultimately, you know, this intervention, if you want to call it that, not only is it a gold standard for neurocardiac functioning, but it also has the impact of creating measurable changes in our larger environment. There's lots of work coming out at MIT about how these islands of coherence have the potential to create ripple effects in our larger society when we come together in community in the practice of that.
The and orchestra.
exactly. In the orchestra. That's exactly right. And so, you know, here we are, our, you know, small little women-owned business on the LA River, just doing quite that.
But that there again, though, you know, when the people are harmonious and go out, their ripple effect happens, right? And, you know, we've got to realize what we put out is what we receive. So if we keep getting angst back, maybe we're putting it out. And maybe you're unaware, the tone of your voice, the projection of your energy. And, you know, life and everything on social media, everything is an algorithm. We are an algorithm. And we've got to, we've got to be careful what we seed, what we water, what we nurture. If you get a field of weeds, you planted those seeds, right? And that nurturing is not demanding that things grow now. It is allow, surrender and allow, go through the process, pay attention to the growth, to all that helps that growth. Yes. You know, the sun, the water, the wind, the everything is that we are a part of nature. And the one thing we don't do is look after ourselves and realize the frequency that is out there is also within here. How do we tune in, tap in, and allow it to guide us into that equilibrium?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're preaching the truth. So
it's interesting this week again, as I said, of themes. You know, another person have Judith Olive, and she's a psychologist as well. And, you know, she talked about empathy and how people misunderstand empathy, or people have empathy and it's painful. And she talks about how to understand empathy in a practical way, how to really tap into that empathy in a way of compassion and understanding, not letting it, discombobulate you or cripple you, not putting walls around you because it's all too much. It's how to manage it. And as with every emotion, I say every emotion has a reason for being here. It is an indication of what we're reacting to that is around us. Be aware of that emotion, spend that emotion, but do not become emotional about the emotion.
Allow it. Mm-hmm. Witness it.
Yes.
Don't be carried away by it.
All right. And I think this is again kind of the media that we've had out there for so long. You know, it's stir it up, stir it up, stir it up. Get everybody into hysteria. Get everybody into the pitchfork state of being. Get everybody into fear. Now you've given them your strings. They now can control you. If you don't wish to be controlled, cut those strings and start listening to the inside wisdom. This is why this is called self-discovery wisdom. I believe the wisdom is accessible at any time. God, universe, spirit, energy, source, I don't care what you call it. It's there ready to channel. It comes in as our compass of truth. It's given to our heart in understanding and passion. It's then given to our spirit in action for our mind to know what it needs to know when it needs to know it, which is clarity. But we don't understand the intellect unless we have the wisdom to understand what the intellect's for.
It's an honor to be speaking with you today.
I'm passionate about this subject too, from a spiritual point of view.
as you should be. Yeah, I think, you know, there's a delicate balance right now between a purely spiritual and or mystical interpretation of the essence of the quality of what you're referring to, and one that I myself am familiar with. Mm-hmm. And then there's also the balancing of that with a conversation about the empirical basis for it as an intervention to support, you know, the incredible and increasing rates of disease that are 95% of which are attributable to stress and inflammation in the body.
Yes.
And so these are the sort of silent underpinnings of the vast majority of chronic inflammatory disease, of stress-related disease, of mental disease, anxiety, depression. The list goes on and on, right? It's a very small number of diseases which are attributable exclusively to genetics. And that is the entire field of study called applied epigenetics, right? Or the study of epigenetics, of the relationship between an environment, which could be an inner environment, the expression of gene activity, right? So when we're in a state of coherence, it's interesting. There was a study that came out of the HeartMath Institute recently that looked at some an individual who was quite practiced in coherence, and they were given three vials, three test tubes with DNA in these, and they were asked, with the power of their attention and intention, to manipulate the genes or manipulate the genetic, the structure of the gene in these tubes. So with one, they were I believe there were three. And with the first two, they were instructed to, with their intention in a coherent state, elongate it. So it relax it basically. And they did so with two of the three. And the third was they were instructed not to change it.
Right.
So you literally have this bidirectional relationship with the genetic information contained in your unique codes, right? Oh, excuse me, my phone is ringing. It's going to keep ringing. Should I go turn it off?
That's up to you. I'm not hearing it.
Okay.
If so you have to take
anyway,
it.
I digress. It's,
that's
it'll
okay.
Stop in just another couple rings. So there's what the science is showing us is that it's not just, and again, not to diminish the importance of the direct experience of spiritual states of being, right? But that it's not just spiritual, right? There's emerging science which is demonstrating, more and more that our belief, our intention, has the ability to affect the manifestation of physical outcomes, either for disease or for health.
Absolutely.
And, yeah. And so that is, there's sort of this yin yang energy that is played with among all of us who are tasked with communicating this faith, our evolutionary journey, right, from where we've been to where we're going. And that for me is a big part of it, is just, okay, because also, there's a great deal of, you've mentioned a couple times, media or our disconnection, right?
Yes.
From things. And the risk in that is that we now have what seem like two realities existing simultaneously. People whose worldview is rooted in a certain set of assumptions, beliefs, and biases, which lead them to a particular set of conclusions about the world, their role in the world, and what is possible.
Yes.
Whereas others who have a certain set of assumptions, beliefs, and biases about the world, and these two parallel realities, never shall they meet.
Oil and water.
Right. Except for that there are neighbors.
Yes.
There are friends. There
family,
are
family, family friends, or,
there are
family.
Members.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we have to find a way to bridge these realities.
Yes.
Or we will continue on the same path, which leads plausibly to our very extinction.
Yes.
Must reconcile the chasm that exists within the psyche of the self and find ways to communicate across the aisle, or across whatever metaphor.
The table.
Yes, exactly. Or across the ether, at a great distance. We have to find ways to do that and ways to communicate about that unifying principle that allow people to say, okay, I am safe to look a little deeper into this myself, right? Why is it that I hold on to this conspiratorial belief about X, Y, or Z, right? You know, but you can't even have that conversation with people unless they feel safe.
Exactly. Yeah, so. There's no point of even trying to open that door until they have their own free will wish to open it. There's two things I want to address. One is the Emoto water experiment, right? The three waters, one ignored, one given negativity, one given positivity. The ignored one stayed the same, the negativity turned dark, and the other one turned crystal, where you could actually measure in frequency. We're 70% water. Let's just look at that. If you're around negativity all the time, it changes the waters in your body, which is supporting your body. Now the organs start going down, the mental health starts going down, everything about you starts diminishing because it's not being nurtured by the right water. So it's really, really essential that we don't put ourselves around that negativity because it is destroying us and pulling us down. The other thing is, I'm a true colors coach, the four key personality types. And I think when people actually understand their personality type, that strong one that's their leader, right? They actually understand how they come across. This is how they perceive and receive information. This is the line they're in. But they've got to understand there's three other personality traits there that they also have, even if they're weak, and how to listen to people from their personality trait, from the way they're communicating, and not always demand that it's in your light. That, you know, when we look at things, not just from one angle, but willing to go around and hear it and see it from other angles, we have a more rounded understanding, therefore less judgment, because our perception isn't just one-sided.
Sure. Yes. And that's a metaphor for expanding or increasing our awareness,
yes,
our consciousness, right? As you develop greater insight into yourself and how the self interfaces with other, you know, you can begin to broaden and build your perspective and allow for greater compassion, less judgment,
yes,
your empathy, greater understanding. These are all universally meaningful and valuable things.
And cures. I'm going to say they're the cures.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We must relentlessly turn to that, right?
Absolutely.
In our own daily practice. Mm-hmm. And that ultimately is what it's about. You're not expected to get it right 100% of the time.
No.
That's why it's practice.
Mm-hmm.
But we do engage in that. We to the best of our ability, become aware of that, and, you know, use it to guide us.
I mean, back to be when we're aware, we care. All right? And when we care, we're kinder. And when we're kinder, we're more compassionate. And when we're compassionate, we're more with love.
Yes.
And we all know that the love frequency is very high. And when we're in that state of love, we can't knowingly do harm to anyone else. To do so is going to cause harm to ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. And then these realities exist where we do harm to others.
Yes.
Knowingly and unknowingly, mm-hmm. whether we're in love or not in love.
Right.
You know, sometimes that's life.
That
sometimes,
is life.
You know, yeah. Complications happen, misunderstandings happen. That is a part of it. So mm-hmm. how can we, in the midst of that, still remain whole, remain connected to our loving light and the energy or the energetic of that, and move through it in a way that honors all perspectives.
No right? blame, no shame.
Right.
Right. Understanding and apology. Right. You know, it's, I'm sorry, I did not know. Now I know better. I apologize for whatever I did, right? And it's ownership. We've all got to take ownership. You know, while we're busy pointing fingers, it's government, it's society, it's this, it's that. There's three fingers pointing back at us. Where's our onus? Where's our responsibility? What are we going to do about it?
Well, I agree with you, but oftentimes in life as well, people are not capable of that.
Yes,
we
have to work towards it.
Coaches, or, right? I mean... Mm-hmm. The reality is we can't go about life expecting to be treated with respect.
No.
I mean, certainly you should expect to be treated
yes.
with respect. Expect that. But
it doesn't always happen.
It doesn't always happen.
Yes.
And how do you respond to unkindness with kindness?
Yes.
You respond to cruelty with love.
Yes. Right?
These are not easy tasks
no.
for anyone. But
And take practice.
yes, exactly. But important parts of a spiritual journey and of life on human on as a human on planet Earth, you know.
Well, you know, there are a lot of cultures that when somebody does something wrong against the community, instead of touring quartering them, they're in a center, you know, where you know,
They're held in
they
literal circles.
Yes, exactly. And then it is, you know, bringing about why it was wrong so they can take ownership, you know, of them understanding what they cause and then asking for forgiveness and receiving it. And but it's not about, you know, destroying and tearing or throwing them in jail or shooting and revenge. It is about the consequences of your actions are this. Now you know better. In that forgiveness, we give you another chance to improve on what you did not know. And we're not very kind on that, are we? We're very, oh, you did the wrong and that's it. Bah, bah, bah. And it's like, hey, calm down. Calm down. We all do something wrong out of ignorance in the moment. Let's give each other a break.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think that's so valuable. And you know, while it may seem utopian or, you know, maybe dystopian for some people to have a justice system that was more community-based, I think, you know, moving the needle, moving in that direction through in our lives with our practices in smaller groups and communities, subgroups, right? Obviously, the Department of Justice is not going to be convened. I mean, the idea of a jury essentially is that.
Yes.
Principle, right? Of a jury coming, of your peers coming together, but it's not with the same kind of heart-centered personality that you're referring to in some.
It's more about who is to blame, who is going to pay the price.
Determining
rather,
the facts. It's approached through, approached from, you know, a perspective of logical empiricism. And so, you know, while our current justice system may be a far cry from those more community-based ways of holding one another accountable in circle, in relationship. There are, you know, examples of programs that are doing work in reconciliation that do serve as a model for that in tandem, in parallel to kind of some of the more state-run systems.
Now, I might be an ideologist or somebody with my head in the clouds or some rose-colored glasses. I actually believe in humanity. I do believe that we can raise that consciousness to kindness, compassion, caring, and love. I do believe that we can live in a society where we are creative and productive and supportive of one another. I believe innately it is in us. And I think it has been awoken in people for the sheer fact of what you're doing. And people coming to you because that's what they need is a pure example of the fact this is what people do need in the world. I'm not going to drop my opinion of that. I'll die this eternal optimist because I really do believe we're capable of doing that. But again, what we seed, what we water grows, what, you know, what we feed grows. And so it is our choice as to what we choose to feed. And it is our choice of, you know, this show, I will say, listen, learn, and apply. Once you know, apply. Once you know, try. Right? Yeah. And it's not, oh, it can never happen to me. Oh, it's too much bother. No, we've got to step up and take that ownership ourselves for the ignition of our own heart and soul, for our meaningful purpose, to seek that community where we feel belong. It's not going to come to you by Amazon delivery. We've got to step up and be willing to do the work.
Though I do love the Amazon delivery people.
Yes.
I always
for products
whenever they come to deliver a package. And if anybody out there does HR for Amazon delivery, let's have a regional pilot of the Amazon delivery people. Let's give them all access to the services that we have here at Quantum Clinic because their backs are breaking. They're not paid enough. They're stressed out there on the streets. They're hustling to make a paycheck. Let's give them a little perk.
Yes, but they're not delivering your higher consciousness. That's a journey you have to take yourself.
No, you have to take that yourself.
Yes, you might order the books and the programs or whatever else, yes, but ultimately If we want to see a better world, if we want to see love and peace in the world, we've got to become the love, we've got to become the peace, and we've got to become the solution to the world. We're all here in service of one another. And when we realize that we're contributors, we're all paying rent here, and we're contributors, and we find that community like a beautiful buffet, each one of us are contributing a dish that everybody else can partake from. It isn't about sit back and the world owns you. Right? It is about what can we give? What instrument are we playing? And it doesn't matter if you're a lead violinist or you're the triangulist. Everything has a role to play. And it isn't comparison. I hate comparison and competition. It doesn't belong with our human growth. But when we actually look at, this is my instrument. I play it well and I can't wait to play it in my community.
Yeah.
Then we have something that really can grow and be exuberant and boy, God, the energy that can come out of that.
I couldn't agree with you more.
But it is up to us. You saw a need. I mean, you know, COVID was an enormous pivot for so many people and realizing what was needed. How many people changed directions during that time? Yes, it was painful, a lot of deaths and a lot has come out of it. But it was also the greatest gift of pause and reflect. And what really direction do you want to take? And if we can look at things, you know, the water, the glass half full, it is never empty. It may be half full of water, but it's half full of air or energy, right? It's never empty. It's again how we choose to look at things. Do we wish to look at it as empty? Or do we look at it as potentially full? And I've just discovered what it's full of.
Infinity.
Infinity and beyond. Yes. You serve people in your community. Do you serve people through online or is it only in your arena?
We only have in-person services currently, in-person services and groups. We would like to produce some type of online offering eventually. But right now we're really focused on serving people here in their body at our facility.
What I would love to see is people duplicating what you're doing. You know, and seeing this as pods everywhere, because it's not just your community that's looking for this. You know, communities everywhere are looking for it. And people are going to go to their vibe tribe, to where they feel their energy is cohesive. It's not one size fits all. But we all need that safe place. You know, I'm feeling vulnerable. I'm at a crossroads. I'm fluxed. I don't know why I feel like this. I'm looking for a way to be able to understand, to belong, and to find a community that I can call my own. And we all need that. So how can you clone yourself?
such a great question.
You know, I mean, there are some technologies that are good.
Never know what's possible. You
never
know, we would like to expand the business in the next few years. You know, we really see this as a model of preventative health care. We're going through an accrediting process this year, which we believe and we hope will allow for us to have conversations with insurers for reimbursement of this type of service, obviously under the auspice of you know, our work as professionals, and in how we hold space from a, you know, as a business, right? So kind of figuring out some of those levers may help us to be able to go to investors and say, look, we have this type of an agreement with Blue Shield or, you know, Cigna or TRICARE, you know, whatever. And, you know, that's a much more, we'll call it stable business model than just a purely direct to consumer model, which is what we do now. And we also do have some package offerings for other local businesses who want to make this service available to their employees. But from the development of health systems perspective, you know, we really need to figure out together again, right? We can't do it all ourselves. We have to figure out together how this fits into our larger biomedical model.
Yes.
And you know, how we can plug the pieces in to crack open those much bigger opportunities for growth.
I've interviewed quite a number of doctors that got blacklisted because they started holistically treating their patients, and it was, what are you doing? Where are the drugs? Where are the operations? Right. And they said, I signed up to actually be a healer, to heal people in any which way I can. And if this way heals them, no, man, you're not understanding the bottom line. And they've got blacklisted. I'm sure that you will have, a push against you because of what you're wanting to do. But
So
at the
let's
same
not say
time,
that.
it's
Let's not put that out there. Because
no. But what I was saying is that the more
things are
you do
changing.
it,
Yeah.
that's
Things are
the thing.
changing.
That's
We
it.
have conversations regularly with people who are in the weeds about, it's about the CPT nomenclature structures. I sit on a committee of, in the state of California for the 5-year plan for prevention, right? And
Great.
we're talking about including biofeedback in the language for that. Will it happen? I don't know.
Well, it will, because it isn't about the establishment that's going to change. It's about the people that have created the change that will bring about the change to the
Right.
establishment,
Right.
right? So
Exactly.
as much as, they may go, no, I don't understand, I don't care, I don't want to know, the more and more success that you have, and the more and more that you can prove that it works, the more and more they realize, well, this is actually beneficial, and it may not be that part of the medical practice that gets your support, but support, as you said, from corporations when they start seeing their employees
Yeah,
much
their
happier,
employees
more
being
productive. Yeah,
happier,
exactly.
and more
The proof is in the
relaxed. And
pudding. And when the pudding is looking really good, other people, I want to have that pudding. And
that's
I don't
exactly right.
care what
And
the establishment says. Yeah.
it's tasty pudding. I'll tell
Exactly.
you what.
Exactly. Good old treacle pudding with custard. Yes. So this is what I've always found in life. And again, the reason why put that book out. It isn't about the establishments that are going to change. It's about the people that step up and create the change, and the people see the success, and the people that buy into that success, and it expands out, that force eventually the others to change. People, well, what about government? What about that? No, they're the last ones to change. You change in your community. You bring about the change in your community where your community sees the benefit. That expands out. All the benefits ripple out, and that success then gets duplicated because it works. So, for people that are kind of waiting for change to happen at the government level, forget it. We are the change we seek. We have to create that change, and eventually government will cotton on.
Well, and we are the government,
Yes.
I mean, get
Yes.
out
Yeah,
and vote.
exactly. Even though your selection might not be very great, it's you're voting on your
Well, at the
community
local
side,
level, yeah,
the local
exactly.
level,
At the
that's right.
local level, there's
Yeah.
lots of opportunity
Yes.
for big change,
Exactly. And that
constantly.
again trickles out and expands out, right? It's not always about going to the top. It's about what do we do again on this on the seeding, on the watering, and the nurturing of what our community around
Absolutely.
us.
And
So
ultimately, that's the motto of, or the motto, I should say, of a community psychologist is it's grassroots, it's bottom up, it's not top
Yes.
down.
Yes,
In
yes,
business
yes.
school, they say change has to come from the top. And they may be right in hierarchical institutions where power is aggregated and controlled by small
I think
groups, but
it's an old paradigm that I think is crumbling.
I perhaps,
Yeah.
there is increasingly conversation about horizontally structured leadership and all of
Yes.
these things. So no matter where you look, this has been my experience. No matter where you look, you see examples and models of a future reality which is much different from the old guard.
Exactly.
So as the old guard is falling, as one civilization is ending and another is being born, we are tasked with being the midwives. We are tasked with
Yes.
stewarding the transformation from old to new. We're essentially just in the process of birthing right now,
Right.
and we don't know how it's going to turn out, but we do move with the flow
Yeah.
of what that experience is like. And
A few years ago, I did a wonderful series called Let's Get Synced, and it was around climate change, but more about the change of climate in business and the way we actually look at the environment. And there's one gentleman out of Germany, and he was on the other side of the Iron Curtain for 11 years before the wall went down. So he had both sides of it. And he started a business called Pure Necessity. And it is people and planet profit, not profit at the expense of people and planet. And he works with governments and he works with organizations and he works with everybody of just changing the shift of how we look at things. When you invest in the people and the planet, exactly. You invest in the people, you invest in the planet, the profit will come.
Yeah.
If you deplete the people and deplete the planet, where's your profit?
Right.
So it is taking hold. It is happening. We're not going to see this on Fox News, but we are going to feel it at the community level. And the more and more we immerse ourselves in.
Frankly, we're not going to see it on any of the...
Any of those medias. I say they take a pimple and make it into a volcanic eruption. It's all about sensationalism, right? If we want reality, we are the reality. And we need to step up and create the reality we want.
Yes.
And it starts through our own healing. It starts from going in and learning how to have that compass within, igniting with your own heart, of lifting your own spirit, of finding your own meaningful purpose, finding that tribe, that village that you feel that you want to build and expand with. And then from there, it just grows and grows and grows. Leave ego out of it. Leave greed or opulence out of it. It's or power. Empowerment, yes, but power, no. I mean, when you do it on a community base where this is my instrument in this orchestra, let us harmoniously play that is so stimulating and inviting to others that they want to create a community too.
My, isn't it beautiful?
It is a beautiful place to be. It's a beautiful thing to see. It's wonderful to see someone like yourself who could probably have made more money going down a different road, but deciding this is where my conscience is. This is where my heart is. This is where I see truly me. I'm serving people and the community. I'm seeding that community for tomorrow by helping one person at a time become a part of that community.
Absolutely.
So thank you for doing what you're doing.
No, it's my sincere honor to be doing this work. I feel so blessed. Mm-hmm. So thank you for mirroring that for me today and for your time.
We need more like you. And so if anybody is listening to this show and they feel, I would love to do this in my community, how do I do it? You reach out. If you are somebody in your community, and just give exactly the location again for people that are around there.
Sure. So we're in Los Angeles, located about 15 minutes from downtown Los Angeles on the backside of Dodgers Stadium.
Great. So if you're anywhere in that vicinity, it's a drive away, right? I mean, LA isn't bus city. It's have a car and go wherever you need to go. What is the name of your clinic, your website? How do people get hold of you? Do they have a conversation beforehand?
Sure. So our business is called Quantum Clinic, and the website is quantumclinic.com. On Instagram, you can find us at Quantum Clinic USA. You can book a service online, or you're welcome to call our office and speak with myself or a clinician or our front desk staff. We'll answer any questions you have about the experience and make sure you feel comfortable before you arrive.
Of course, you're on Instagram, you're on Facebook, you're on LinkedIn, and under your name, Dr.
Caitlin Lehman. Yes, if you're interested to follow me, I'm on all the socials, Dr. Caitlin Lehman. Google it. I think I'm right up there.
And Lehman is Lehman, folks. So Caitlin, Katelyn, Lehman. So that you really do reach out. The whole thing is, if you've been inspired by this today, if the whole idea of community, if the whole idea of having somebody that truly cares, that truly listens, that can really give you the skills and the tools and the nurturing for you to become part of a community where you can feel you belong. The more and more you belong, the more and more you build a community, the more and more we duplicate that and it ripples out. It's got to start somewhere. And where it needs to start is your own healing, your own sense of belonging, your own compass and heart within. And this is what Caitlin is here to do, help you find that space so you know how to build your community, so you know how to find that meaningful purpose and how to have that wonderful vibe tribe and expand on it. We are the answer. folks, we are the answer. And the more we step up and decide, make that choice to be that answer, to be that love, be that peace, be that joy, that is more and more what we'll bring to the world and be the healing of the world. But it starts with us.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for what you do, for a start. I love what you're doing. And I really would love to see this expansion most certainly go everywhere. Because you're not just creating your community. What you're doing is mentally having people release all that has anchored them. And you're setting them free to be the essence and the beauty of who they are, with skills on how to manage any of the dark days, you know, to live on the sunny side of the street and to create that that community that is so important. So thank you for all the work that you're doing.
My sincere pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, Sarah.
My pleasure, my pleasure. So folks, remember, there's always an answer. There's always somebody here to help you. You're not alone. If you're in the LA area, reach out to Caitlin, have a conversation, go and give it a try. Everything is about participation. And when we need to participate in our own healing, my goodness, do we heal a hell of a lot faster. So until next time, folks, bye for now. We hope that you enjoyed the show. There are so many more for you here on selfdiscoverywisdom.com. Just go to the podcast tag at the top there and you will see all the many genres and all 3,000 shows ready for your listening. We are here to serve you, to help you on your journey of life. And we know that through inspiration, it begets invitation. We are supported by you, the listeners, and those that we interview. Anything that you can spare us in donation would be greatly accepted. And we do hope that you enjoy the next show.